Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 1713 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you guys all for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week and winding down a great weekend. It was a good weekend. It is turning beautiful in the American Redoubt. And this is what makes it all worth it. Someone says, oh, it's 80 degrees here in Florida. I feel bad for you up in the American Redoubt where it's 38 degrees. Well, guess what? The little bit of snow, a little bit of ice, some cooler temperatures is a very small price to pay to live in God's country, which is under assault. We'll be talking about that tonight. Patriots, you've got a job to do. Freedom isn't free. You can give it away for free if you're not willing to fight for it. But if you want to keep it, you better roll up your sleeves because the fight is on. All right. This is episode 1713, the 13th episode of 2017. Hey, thanks for tuning in yesterday on the Liberty Broadcasting Service. Good show. The little 30-minute blast, a week in review and covering different items. Yesterday, I'll talk about – actually, that just ties into my first story, which is why I threw it in here because a lot of times after a show, I'll be like, oh, I meant to say this or I should have said that or, oh, I overlooked this in my notes and I wanted to bring that up, whatever it is. So there's one thing I wanted to bring up, talking about North Korea. So let's talk about the news and commentary here at Radio Free Redoubt, and the news and commentary is brought to you by author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. You get a chance to meet him in May 6th for the Northwest Preparedness Expo. I'll fill you in on a few more details on that here later on in the show. There's going to be some great speakers there. You're not going to want to miss it. If you are in the area or can make it to the area, May 6th, that's going to be a good one. In international news, there is a increasing level of saber-rattling when it comes to North Korea. I re-listened to my show yesterday and realized that I said South Korea. There's madman in South Korea. You guys know what I meant. North Korea. Well, as I've been mentioning, these guys are in the Trump administration are saying, we're done playing patty cakes with these guys. Something must be done. And they're not ruling out a preemptive strike on North Korea. Well, North Korea is paying attention to that language. And, of course, they're training up for and running exercises based on a preemptive strike against the United States. So I want to point something out. Remember all of these satellites that North Korea has been launching over the last few years, these same satellites that everyone points and laughs and mocks North Korea because they can't put a satellite up in the air that even works because these satellites have not put out any signals since they were put up there. So we make fun of North Korea because their satellites don't even work. And let me remind you that, like I said yesterday, one of the fastest ways to get your butt kicked is to grossly underestimate a determined adversary. Is there anybody in the audience, show of hands, who thinks North Korea is determined? Absolutely. Psychotic is irrelevant. They're determined and they're capable. They have the capability for crying out loud. They've been setting off nuclear warheads underground for several years. So a satellite, and these satellites, several of them, a few of them, pass over the United States a couple times a day. And we all understand the EMP threat. That could be designed where it is only necessary to receive a signal for an EMP in a satellite to be effective. So, how many times? What? 2 to 4 times a day we've got a North Korean satellite, dead satellite, passing over the United States. I mean, thinking like a madman dictator that hates the United States and wants to destroy it, who has nuclear capabilities and the ability to launch orbiting satellites, I'm just thinking it would just take one day just to wake up and realize, today's the day. Push the button, poof, over the East Coast. And about 6 hours later, poof, over the West Coast. And the next afternoon, poof, again, right over the central United States. Or just wait about 10 days. Everybody starts pulling gear out of their Faraday protection and poof, nail them then. Don't underestimate the North Koreans. We are going to be talking to some folks about mitigating the EMP threat, which is a very real concern for radio operators, especially when we have these things called antennas that are specifically designed to harvest and magnify, amplify incoming radio frequency signals, which is what an EMP is. This is something that we need to obviously work into our communications plan, is also the mitigation from electromagnetic energy. In national news, for the first time, police are asking for an entire city's Google searches, and the courts are upholding it. So if there's ever been a good time for a VPN, we're heading into this Orwellian age. According to Ars Technica, investigators are focusing their probe on an online photo of someone with the same name of a local financial fraud victim. The image turned up on a fake passport used to trick a credit union to fraudulently transfer $28,500 out of an Edina man's account, the police said. So according to the warrant, Google must help police determine who searched for variations of the victim's name between December 1st of last year through January 7th of 2017. The warrant commands Google to divulge any and all user or subscriber information, including email addresses, payment information, MAC addresses, social security numbers, dates of birth, and IP addresses of anybody who conducted a search for the victim's name. All of our Google users in the audience, or just internet users, if you need a real-world example of why a VPN might be really important. Now, this is a legitimate crime. Somebody's stolen someone else's identity, and they've transferred almost $30,000 out of someone's account. And I hope they catch him, and I hope they hang for it. However, our current climate, political climate, has me concerned about certain people they want to call domestic terrorists and the trend that we're on. What's going to happen when they, once they set precedents, which they will use, because they don't use the Constitution, they use case law. Precedents. So they'll say, well, can you actually demand a search for people who did internet searches for Bibles, for firearms, or whatever the flavor of extremist radical that needs to be tracked down by police technology, investigative forensic science? So this is a dangerous trend. Folks, start learning how to use VPNs. Start learning how to use encryption. Start using Tails for sensitive searches that you might want to do on the internet, like how to hide or cache or bury firearms, for example. That would be a really good example when you might want to use Tails. And we've covered that quite a bit in the past. Just, you know what? Why don't you just Google it if you don't know what that means? No, use DuckDuckGo. I'm only kidding. First thing you do is you need to buy a VPN service and then use DuckDuckGo. It'll still use your Google searches, but it just doesn't document your – it doesn't store any of your data or search information. Let's move on. Tennessee, from the Tennessean.com. Tennessee sues federal government over refugees. Tennessee became the first state in the nation a couple of weeks ago to sue the federal government over refugee resettlement on the grounds of the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which is something that they've been just ignoring. So there is a senator that's behind this, and I've got his email. And this man deserves your support, whether you live in Oklahoma or not. I mean, Tennessee. No. There's another case. No, here it is. I got it. It is Tennessee Senator Mark Norris. And you can email him. We'll put it in our highlights and resources posting. Sen, like as in senator, .mark.norris, N-O-R-R-I-S, at capital.tn.gov. And we'll put that link in there. You know, someone said, hey, can we put this out so people can rally behind this guy and support him? Because he's coming under tremendous amount of pressure. Tremendous pressure. So, yeah, get a hold of him and say thank you for being in the fight against this violation of the 10th Amendment, forcing states to take refugees. The charge that the federal government is not complying with the Refugee Act of 1980 based on the 10th Amendment makes Tennessee's lawsuit the first of its kind. Other states have sued the federal government over refugee resettlement, but on different legal grounds. This might just be the angle. So legislators that are listening right now, or those of you constituents who can forward this on to your legislators, get this article that we're going to have linked from the Tennessean. And shoot that to your legislators. Of course, most of our legislators are coming out of session right now. But still, put it on the radar anyway. Oh, regional news. This is something that will just kick you right in your rib cage. A Sandpoint, Idaho charter school has... this is from Redoubt News. From Redoubt News. Right there in the same county, Sandpoint, the same county that Redoubt News is based out of, this charter school is hosting, with the help of the adults, including the principal, a secret gay club, they call it. The principal of Forrest M. Byrd Charter School in Sandpoint, Mary Jensen, has admitted that she and her staff have recruited students to join a secret gay club against the wishes of their parents. The staff, coordinating with community activists, attempted to start a gay-straight alliance club at a Sandpoint Junior High School. They're just going after them younger and younger, aren't they? But they were thwarted in their efforts when the parents of the students refused to give permission for their children to participate. Well, a school administrator was caught colluding with community activists. In other words, the homosexual Gestapo and their friendly little town, to recruit students of the Forrest M. Byrd Charter School to join a gay-straight alliance while intentionally hiding this information from the parents. This principal, Mary Jensen, admitted the secrecy under which the school staff and others had operated. Some of the adults had even facilitated kids meeting off-campus. So, secret off-campus meetings. To facilitate a meeting at the library under the supervision of supportive third parties. So, satanically influenced homosexual Gestapo is secretly whisking your children off of the school grounds to a different place in the community to be part of a meeting facilitated by these sickos. Jensen stated that they wanted to be a progressive school on that sort of thing, but we did not want to be in your face. They never want to be in your face when they know they're outnumbered. They're sneaky. Once they get the numbers, then they're in your face. But they wanted to do this not so in your face, so parents could not prevent their children from attending. She states, we're keeping it kind of on the lowdown, quote, because, quote, this is North Idaho. And kids who want to participate in the club did not necessarily want their parents to know. And those kids that were in the club, why would they not want their parents to know? Usually kids who are doing something they know is wrong don't want their parents to know. The fact that the children didn't even want their parents to know who they were selectively, this article states, they were selectively recruited by these sicko adults. Wow. They spent months trying. They even said, we've spent months trying to do this thing. And we're hoping that in the next year we can have actually public events. So copies of the correspondence, which was apparently somebody got their hands on the correspondence discussing this, was sent to the school board members. So we're going to see how this turns out. We're going to follow up with this. They seem to recognize that in North Idaho, moral convictions are important in the family unit. This is not their agenda. They want to change the Christian conservative culture in our community, and they intend to use the children to accomplish their objectives. Bingo. And that's exactly what these resist and these Antifa groups are trying to do. They are targeting school boards. I don't know if you know that. Parents, grandparents, sit up, pay attention. What did I just say? They are targeting your children, and these organizations, from intercepts that we've got from their meetings, this is the terminology that they're using. We have to go after the school boards. We have to take the school boards locally, on the local level. They're deliberate because they're nonpartisan, not Republican, not Democrat, but it is an elected position. And this is how they're trying to slide in there. You need to watch your school elections. And whether you got kids in the school, whether you're a homeschooler or not, your taxpayer, your tax dollars cover this, support this. You have a vested interest. Don't check out because your kid goes to a private Christian school or are homeschooled. This affects your community. So anyway, remember when I mentioned this story from a few weeks ago about the Spokane Arena and their new firearms policy, not allowing the sheriff, who's in civilian clothes, carrying his firearm, badge and ID, but he was in civilian clothes, so he wasn't on duty, and off-duty police officers cannot carry firearms into the arena. That's the policy. Well, they changed the policy after the sheriff threw a fit. But still, they say no concealed weapons permit carriers are allowed in, but off-duty police officers will be allowed. But they did say this. They said, to be clear, as of this writing, and because this is supposed to take place, this actually came out February 15th. I meant to cover this, like 3 weeks ago. But they said they worked out a deal and they are going to begin letting officers carry their firearms on May, when was it? They're saying as of February 15th that new rules will be implemented and released over the next month. But to be clear, they state, as of this writing, the weapons policy at the facility of the Spokane Public Facilities District includes Spokane Veterans Memorial. Okay. Officers in uniform are welcome anytime. Off-duty officers will be asked to leave their weapons at home. Citizens with concealed carry permits will be asked to leave their weapons at home and will not be allowed entry if they bring those weapons with them to events. So we're going to let police officers in a month start carrying off-duty. But we can't now because it's so unsafe. For safety reasons, even off-duty police officers cannot carry firearms. But you will be able to in a month. Somehow, Something magical is going to happen where one day it's completely unsafe and they cannot allow you to carry a firearm, even if you're an off-duty police officer. But the next day, something's going to happen where you will be able to carry because it's going to be safe the next day and from there on forward. Liberal logic. I don't get it. But we're going to talk about – I've got an example of some liberal logic when we come back right after the break. Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. Stay right there.
While the left and right side of our government continue to fight about health care, the looming threat of a gold-backed yuan appears to be even more of a real reality to come. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Folks, I called this way back in last year, and I have been announcing it from the wall ever since the SDR decided the yuan would be okay to include. Big news tonight is the Russians and the Chinese are getting ready to railroad us and look to a gold-backed trade arrangement. Hang in there as I continue to bring you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marcos Supremo, and it's amazing. I'm not blowing hot air here, fellow Redoubters. This is quite possibly the most amazing coffee I've ever drank. It smells amazing. It tastes even better. You've got to go out and order a couple of bags right away. It will change your coffee drinking forever. So log on right after the show tonight and go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us and order your bags of San Marcos Supreme right away. You will know, too, what it is like to experience coffee the way it was meant to be tasted. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Well, welcome back, fellow partisans, and I'm going to jump right into the big news tonight. Gold-backed trade between Russia and China is coming, and coming fast. Announced last week, the Russian Central Bank opened its first overseas office in Beijing on March 14th of this last year. This is marking a huge step in forging a Beijing-Moscow alliance to bypass the U.S. dollar in a global monetary trade, and to phase this in a gold-backed standard of trade step by step. According to the South China Monitoring Post, the new office was part of the arrangements made between the two neighbors to, quote, seek stronger economic ties since the West brought in sanctions against Russia over Ukraine crisis and the oil price slump that hit the Russian economy. According to Dmitry Slobokin, the deputy governor of the Russian Central Bank, the opening of the Beijing representative office by the Central Bank of Russia was, quote, very timely move to aid specific cooperation, including bond issuance, anti-money laundering, and anti-terrorism measures between China and Russia. That seems highly ironic. The new central bank was opened at a time when Russia was preparing to issue its first federal loan and denominated in Chinese yuan. Yes, you heard that right. They are issuing them in yuan. Financial regulators from the two countries agreed last May to issue the home currency denominated bonds in each other's markets, a move that was widely viewed as intended to test the global reserve status of the U.S. dollar. And we have been seeing China make moves like this all around the planet, especially with the ECB's SDR basket of currencies. Speaking on future ties with Russia, Chinese Premier Li Qiang said in mid-March that the Sino-Russian trade ties were affected by falling oil prices, but he added that he saw great potential in the cooperation. And here is the most important point of the night, folks. Vladimir Shapovalov, a senior official at the Russian Central Bank, said that the two banks were drafting a memorandum of understanding to solve the technical issues around China's gold imports from Russia, and that details would be released soon. Huge news. If Russia, the world's fourth largest gold producer after China, Japan, and the U.S., is indeed set to become a major supplier of gold to China, the probability of the scenario hinted by many over the years, including yours truly, naming that Beijing is preparing to eventually unroll a gold-backed currency increases by a magnitude, folks. The gold-backed currency is on the horizon, everyone, and over the next few weeks, I'm going to discuss more in depth of what that means if China and Russia are able to pull this off and what that could mean to the global financial markets and your pocketbook. In the meantime, keep prepping, stay focused, and pay attention to the news coming out of Asia if you can. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality. Everything in its place.
Segment 2 brought to you by our good friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots to get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. If that's where you got your sights set, give them a call today and or go check out their website right now, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. You can do that while you're listening to the show. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and, of course, that's our website. And that's where our highlights and resources postings are posted. And there's also links there for you to go to our Podbean player and listen to the podcast version of this streaming audio show and our radio shows on Saturdays on Liberty Broadcasting Service. All of those are downloaded. They're all archived right there. Yesterday, I wanted to ask some clarification. Yesterday, I was at a meeting of Ameron operators. They have a monthly meeting. And I was talking about this joint field training exercise that we did, which simulated supporting local leaders who might not be in the loop or in the chain of flow of information in a disaster. Aries and Racies work with local governments and certain individuals and agencies in an emergency. But many of those people, community leaders and elected officials, are not included in that. So we practice training to help them stay informed and help to coordinate in a disaster as well, to kind of fill that gap. And a lady in the audience asked, what if those leaders that you're supporting, fill in that gap, are not like-minded patriots? Well, I would like to direct you to our mission statement. If you want to go over to Ameron.com, that's AMRRON.com, and that's for the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, Disaster and Emergency and Civil Defense Radio Communications Network. And we have our mission statement and our guiding principles over there, which is like the mission statement expounded on. There's 7 points there. Number 5 says, Ameron operators should always be willing and capable of supporting leaders in their communities who may not have communications capabilities and may include clergy, community leaders, elected officials, and other patriot-minded organizations and individuals. And point number 7 adds more clarification. Ameron operators are committed to supporting and advancing traditional American values, our heritage, liberty, Christian charity, lawfulness, and helping our fellow countrymen in times of crisis, and never supporting those whose objectives are in conflict with those values and ideals. So that should pretty much answer what happens if there is a group of people, leaders, who are not patriot-minded. Well, it's pretty much laid out right there. That would help our Ameron operators in case they're ever found in a situation where there's a conflict of interest, for them to say, I'm sorry, I can't abide by this. Right here is our mission statement. I'd be in violation of those guiding principles of as an Ameron operator. So I'm sorry, I cannot provide communication support for you and your fellow guys that decided that the best thing for responding to this disaster is to disarm all of our fellow citizens. Can't help you. Sorry. Or not sorry. Somebody sent this in to me. It was well done. I don't, get into memes and jokes and things like that that people pass
on to me. Actually, don't even have time to read most of them. But here's one. A picture of a woman holding a sign, a big handmade sign, leftist, obviously. This liberal mentality segment. And this is what the sign reads. I dream women will someday have the same rights as guns. I'm just letting that hang out there for a minute. So a liberal woman is holding the sign that says, I dream women will someday have the same rights as guns. So this, the person that sent this, there's this commentary under it. So they're asking for clarification. What does that even mean? But he says, does that mean this brilliant liberal wants you to have to wait 72 hours after you go out and buy a woman to have your background investigated and completed? Does she want women to be banned from entering schools and college campuses? Does she want women to be banned from any establishment selling alcohol, or to be banned from polling places on election days, or to be banned from any official government group meetings? Or does she want all women to be banned from all airports? Maybe she's recommending that you have to pay a fee to the state before you can carry a woman. Or some women should be banned outright simply because they look too scary. That's actually might have some merit on that one. All women to be locked up at all times that they're not in use. he writes, maybe she recommends that all women should come with silencers. All guys should have more than one. So anyway, liberal logic is kind of funny. Some of the funny responses to this woman's sign. And now this brings us to our Islamic World Domination report and segment. Breitbart.com, another one coming from them. These guys are on top of it. They are reporting on a Gatestone Institute report. Apparently, there are 423 new mosques and 500 closed churches in London. I covered this a while back in France. The same thing's happening in France. There are more mosques now in some parts of France than there are Christian churches. And many of the mosques are in formerly Christian churches, the buildings. And very wealthy members of the Islamic community from other nations are purchasing these churches and turning them into mosques. Terrorists cannot stand London multiculturalism, London's mayor Sadiq Khan said. London has a mayor named Sadiq Khan. And the United States had a president named Barack Hussein Obama. This is not a healthy trend, world. But he said terrorists cannot stand London multiculturalism. This article states the opposite is true. British multiculturalists are feeding Islamic fundamentalism. Above all, Londonistan, with its new 423 mosques, is built on the sad ruins of English Christianity. Here's some examples. The Hyatt United Church was bought by the Egyptian community to be converted to a mosque. St. Peter's Church has been converted into the Medina Mosque. The Brick Lane Mosque was built on a former Methodist church. Not only buildings are converted, but also people. The number of converts to Islam has doubled. Often they embrace radical Islam, as with Khalid Masood, the terrorist who struck Westminster. And there's more. There's like a whole list of these. Let's just bring them in because that's the Christian thing to do, and then we'll share the gospel with them. No, you're not sharing the gospel with them. You're not allowed to. And most of you Christian organizations that are making bank off bringing in Muslims don't even have the spine to violate that order. Well, you'll lose your funding. Well, so of course not. You can't share the gospel. But you follow the money trail and you find out what the true motive is for really bringing in Muslims, because you're not converting Muslims to Christianity. They are converting these host nations to Islam. It's the opposite. It is an existential threat to the Western culture and, a little closer to home, to America. Let's take a look at some of the top stories from PamelaGeller.com. Fort Hood, Muslim terrorist announces hunger strike to protest America's hatred for Sharia. What was the problem with that? Matt, maybe that will catch on. Muslim Brotherhood operatives in Canada, Canadian Parliament begins witch hunt for Islamophobes. Denmark stripped the citizenship of a Denmark-born Muslim ISIS fighter. Now there is a precedent we could follow. Indiana, Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar tries to strangle store clerk and attacks police officer. That's Indiana. Guns and ammunition discovered in a mosque in Greece. And that's according to reports that we've seen in briefings that I've been in. That is a major problem all around the world, including the United States. ISIS bomb makers create laptop bombs to fool airport security checks. And here's one that will make you sick to your stomach. Montana Democrats vote against the bill banning brutal, oppressive Sharia law and call it repugnant. They call a bill repugnant, which is designed to ban Sharia law in Montana. The Democrats are voting against it. There's several. Detroit Muslim threatened to attack church and police officers for ISIS. And there's more here, but there is an event coming up I want to share with you guys. Standing with Israel event on April 25th, Tuesday. That's a Tuesday. I will not be in the area for it. This will be in the Spokane Valley, Washington, at the Truth in Love Ministries, Pastor Sharam Hadian's church. He just got back from a 2-week tour in Israel. Well, their guide, who is an Israeli Defense Force Major Elliot Chodoff, and also he's a political and military analyst, he's going to be the keynote speaker at the Standing with Israel event, Tuesday, April 25th. So put it on your calendar. And that's going to be from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And yes, there will be heavy security. And that'll be at the La Belle La Vie Event Center. All right, more good stuff when we come back. Segment 3 right here at Radio Free Redoubt. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Segment 3 brought to you by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. They've got a service that I don't know if you guys are aware of. It's a pre-purchase property evaluation. Now, if you can wait until May 6th, Brian from Strategic Landscape Design will also be, and he's going to also be one of the speakers at one of the workshops at the Northwest Preparedness Expo on May 6th. And you can talk to him more about this. But if you can't wait and you're champing at the bit to get your property now and you want a site evaluation before you make your purchase, get a hold of them at strategiclandscapedesign.com, and they will walk you through that with you and help you look at factors and evaluated include water access, existing vegetation, terrain features, drainage patterns, soil types, solar exposure, microclimate factors, energy production potential, and security considerations. All of that is part of that pre-purchase property evaluation. Give them a call and check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. The last few weeks, I've been covering this Indivisible. Man, I got a frog in my throat tonight. You know this group, Indivisible, that's got this guide on basically how to take over your community locally and also resist the other one. And both of these are targeting the schools and the school boards and the local communities and elections. They're rolling their sleeves up, patriots. If you want to save America, you better get in the fight. Get off your lazy butts and get involved. For those of you who are not, I'm serious. I don't know what to say. I had a low point this week when I just saw the left just keep gaining, just inching forward in this area and that area and this. And I see this small handful of patriots just working their brains out, fighting for liberty. And everybody else is just yawn. Hey, Gonzaga, go Gonzaga, living the life. And they're patriots. They love freedom and they love how great it is here. And they're so glad they left California. And the fight is right on their doorstep and they don't care. They don't care. I've seen, I mean, it just makes, do I have to move to Oklahoma? Do we have to move the American Redoubt to Oklahoma or Tennessee where people are actually fighting for freedom? Well, people are fighting for freedom here too, but it just, geez, we need more. There's no way with the numbers that we have here. It's a lack of passion. You've got a minority left gaining ground in a conservative stronghold. That means that they have more passion and they're more willing to fight than the people who are here because they're relying completely on the strength of numbers here as their sole defense against an aggressive leftist agenda. And remember when I said prepare for a civil war? It is coming because at some point the left is going to start arming themselves. We've already seen the violence get escalated. While they're calling the right wing extremist violent and all this stuff, what we're seeing is the hate and the hostility and the violence, the willingness to carry out violence on the left. If you don't see it, you're living under a rock. And now they are arming themselves. From the Phoenix New Times, an article came out, pictures, brown shirts, they look like communist revolutionaries. Bandanas over their faces, carrying M4s and AK-47s, loaded for bear. And this leftist, self-described, proud liberal, is covering this Trump rally and sees this, and he starts off his article with, hey, lefties with guns. That's cool. And then he goes on to say, at least that was my first impression upon seeing about 40 or so assorted anarchists. 40, that's a platoon. Brown berets, members of a group calling itself the Phoenix John Brown Gun Club across the street. And there's actually two groups over there across the street. And these guys are armed to the teeth. So he starts interacting with them and they want to have nothing to do with him. They basically are running him off. So now he's been out of shape and not really painting them in a favorable light because basically they blew him off. They didn't want him filming them. They didn't want him following them. He says, then he starts changing his tone. These progressive goons with guns tried to block me, but I did film some of them driving away. The document of this encounter was especially ludicrous, as you will see if you watch the video that I've posted, and he's got it linked here. So he says, I made a comment on the video that this entire event proved that the far left can be as hostile to the First Amendment as the far right. Can you show me an example of the far right being hostile toward the First Amendment? Unless I don't know, advancing homosexuality is a new First Amendment right, or advancing communism is a new First Amendment right. I don't know. I will say you don't have a constitutional right to destroy the Constitution. Quote me on that. That's a John Jacob Schmitt quote. You do not have a constitutional right to destroy the Constitution, no matter what umbrella you want to hide under. Oh, my First Amendment rights. Nope, you don't. Hey, the left are the ones that are first to say every right has limitations, right? But I guess that only works one way. That only works when you're trying to shut down conservatives. But he says, talking about the shootout in 1979 where a bunch of people were, several people were killed. Five people died. He says it just may be a matter of time before history repeats itself. However, this being Arizona, he says, there's a lot more firepower on both sides, and I suspect if it goes down, the body count will be higher. So, conservative patriots, Arizona and elsewhere, I hope you're training. I hope you're training, because if you're not, just remember this. Somebody, somewhere is training to kill you. Are you prepared to meet that person? So, train, folks. This is the time. Now, before we take a break, Northwest Preparedness Expo. You can learn more by going to nwpreparednessexpo.com. NW for Northwest, preparednessexpo.com. We will link that. We're going to be posting that on Radio for Redoubt, Facebook, AMRA on Facebook. But that is going to be May 6th, Saturday. The gates will open at 7:30, and it's going to go till 6. It's $10 for adults and $5 for students, and free if you're 12 and under or active duty military. Now, the speakers, this is a great lineup of speakers. Many of you are familiar with Patrice Lewis. She is a writer. She lives in the American Redoubt, friends with Enola Gay, and she writes a lot for WorldNet Daily. She will be there talking about Intro to Preparedness and Self-Sufficiency. Kay, codename Kay from Combat Studies Group, will be there to talk about community security. Dr. Dave Pruitt will be there covering his classes on wound care basics, wound care and suture techniques. Sam Culper will be covering SHTF intelligence. he's from Forward Observer. We've interviewed him here. Great guy. So we're going to have fun between, I'll be speaking. We're going to just get in trouble. I can see it right now. Kay's going to be there. Sam Culper is going to be there. Glenn Tate will be there, and I'll be there. So this is going to be interesting. This will be good. We're only missing a couple others, I think. If we can get John Mosby to show up there, and then we'll tear the place up. But anyway, we've got some others. Who else? Representative Dave Taylor. Great guy. Really look up to him. And another great friend, Representative Matt Shea, will be there. And then Ranger Rick, some of you are familiar with him. He does a lot of preparedness training. He will be there, as well as Brian Domke from Strategic Landscape Design. A bunch more, a bunch of vendors are going to be there. It's going to be a good time. All right, we'll be back in just a minute with segment 4, Don't Go Away.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. There has been a common theme in the news lately. We need government to help with whatever the crisis du jour of the day. I am sure you've heard it because it's everywhere. We need government to reform health care. We need government to stave off catastrophic climate change. We need government to bail out car makers. We need government to encourage community service. And on the list goes. After all, compassion dictates that government can be used as a force for good, right? Well, I disagree, and this is where I think conservatism has lost its way. To the contrary, compassion dictates the need for more freedom. Government's purpose, in fact, is as a negative force, solely limited to protecting our God-given inalienable rights. Therefore, government is not a solution, but when used as a force for good, government is, in fact, the problem. That is the key difference, I think, between so-called Reagan conservatism and modern conservatism. Government is not the solution, it's the problem. The founders and I believe some level of government is necessary, but it is supposed to have a limited role, and that societal ills were best solved by charity and free enterprise. This is not an old, antiquated notion. After all, it was private non-profit organizations that were heroically effective in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So conservatives need to clear up the confusion. Government is not, and can never be, a force for good. Instead, we need to move toward a government that allows more freedom. Quite simply, freedom creates prosperity, and prosperity reduces poverty, and prosperity increases charity. The formula is as simple now as it was in 1776. All new laws should be weighed on this scale, and I believe many would be found wanting. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
This is the final and fourth segment of The Voice of the American Redoubt, and this segment is brought to you by Katie Armour, our good friends over there, Patriot, Christian Patriot-owned business, C-A-T-I, as in come and take it, Armour, Katie Body Armour. Go to katiearmour.com to learn more. They've got free shipping on all their stuff located right here in the American Redoubt. Good stuff, good people too. I got my set sitting, where did I put it? I was messing around with it. Which room did I set it down in the last 24 hours? I was just going through all my gear. I was just going through my, my vest, and then my, my harness, cause I got one of each. And then, going through my M4s, just kind of like cycling different magazines and testing out my EOTech and, you know, just running through some drills and mag change drills and dry fire drills and stuff like that. So now I got gear strewn all over the place. I got to put away, but, I had to do it. It's been a week. And before that, it was like almost 2 months. And that's pathetic. So, anyway, yeah, katiearmour.com. Now let's talk about Hunted. I want to wrap this up. Well, actually I'll wrap it up next week, but this week I'm going to talk about episode 6, some of the developments. You know, I know a lot of this stuff is staged because these guys, they really do not have access to stuff that modern active military and law enforcement would have access to. They are actually getting a lot of cooperation from some of these groups, some of these businesses, communications groups, cell phone companies, and some of them are not giving them. So they're staging some of this to demonstrate how it would be if they did have access to some of this stuff. I know I'm spoiling it. There's a couple of good articles that actually somebody did a great job really investigating how were they able to get access to these different license plate readers and stuff like that. Only law enforcement can get that stuff. These guys would be violating some laws if they really could, if, you know, some law enforcement agency let them have access to this stuff for a reality show, right? Well, it's usually not a secret where these license plate readers are located on the highways. So then you got a crew following these guys along and then calling it in, you know, on a cell phone saying, they just passed this license plate camera reader on milepost such and such. So then back at the hub, they're going, oh, we just got a hit on the license plate reader. They just passed mile marker such and such. Well, they didn't really have access to that information because they're former law enforcement and investigators, but they don't have access to a lot of the stuff. So they're kind of fudging it on a lot of stuff. But, and I have to say, because of that, I've kind of lost interest in it. But this is really important because it doesn't matter how they did it. What matters is these are teachable moments. This is a very good demonstration of how you could get caught and to think about ways that you could avoid getting caught or getting detected, getting tracked, getting traced if this were a real world situation. So let me just cover some of these real briefly. Lee and Hilmar, let's cover them. There we go. Okay, let's back up. Arif and Ahmad. All right, they escape the mosque. These investigators, the hunters, know these guys are Muslim. They know it's Ramadan. They know that Muslims most likely are going to try to seek sanctuary at a mosque. And they tracked him to the general area. Well, there's a mosque in the area. Let's go check it out. Well, Arif and Ahmad were there and left. And, of course, this guy is saying, yeah, I saw them here. They left a little while ago with such and such. Well, can we look at your closed caption TV security? Sure, it's right over here. So then the hunters go and they look at the CCTV footage. And sure enough, there's the guy who took off with them, who gave him a ride. They got his driver's his license plates. So they put out a kind of a hit or a, you know, APB for this license plate. So they can, any license plate that this guy goes by, a license plate scanner reader, it will put off a ping. And the hunter headquarters, they will be able to see, identify this guy. The other thing they were able to do is ostensibly track his cell phone. Let me back up. They've got the license plate now of the car that Arif and Ahmad are riding in. So they get the license plate and then they pull up a registry of who owns that and then what cell phones are registered to that guy. And so now they got a cell phone. So they put a tag on this guy's cell phone. Of course, Arif and Ahmad, not having any connections to this cell phone, asked to use his phone. So they call ahead to this guy, Sam Huff, and he says, yeah, I'll put you up. You know, get to my place and I'll hide you boys. Get here. So that's what happens. But by this time, the hunters have been able to track this cell phone now, linked because of the license plate that they were able to read off of the CCTV security cameras at the mosque. And then they've got the identity of, the registered owner of that vehicle. So then they do a search to find out what that person's phone number is. And then they just tag the phone number. So now there's a direct link right there to Sam Huff. Things to think about in the future. Okay, regardless of whether or not this was staged, that's a real capability of law enforcement or the secret police, or the Chinese intelligence forces that are pursuing you. Okay, so something really to think about there. Where's the other one? Hilmar and Lee are doing a really good job. Actually, they did something smart. They contacted a friend. Now, knowing that they're using a burner phone, right? They're using a burner phone to call some of their friends. Well, the hunter team, they are watching this circle of trust and all of the people that Lee and Hilmar know. They're looking for an unknown number to contact so they know that must be the burner phone, right? Because they know the pattern of phone calls that these people usually make. So when a strange number shows up, it's a high probability that that is the burner phone. Just be aware, those are the things they will be looking for. I'm talking about the hunters. They're going to be looking at your entire circle of trust after they've mapped out the human terrain, and they are going to be building patterns of all of the phone numbers that phone number of your friend is usually in contact with. A strange number appearing will raise a red flag. That's you talking on your burner phone, thinking you're invisible because you're using a burner phone with no account, no contract. You bought it for cash at Walmart. You activated it, and then you start calling all your friends. And that lays right over top of the human terrain map of when before you went grid down and went dark. And so, bam, they got you. Then they start tracking that burner phone, and they've got your location. What these guys did was kind of a smart move. At least it bought them a little bit of time, and it worked because it was a reality show. They had the friend that they were contacting put several Craigslist ads up for a bicycle, to give away a puppy, to give away all this. So he starts getting all these phone calls from all these strange numbers. So basically, this burner phone that they're using to contact this guy just becomes part of this white noise. It was smart. But here's the thing. Because they've already contacted other people, they're starting to put this one burner phone is standing out from all the rest of the white noise phone calls that are coming in to their friend. And here's the other thing. They catch on to this, what's happening. The hunters. They know these guys are playing with us. They did the Craigslist thing to kind of throw us. Okay, it's smart, but like I said, because it's a reality show, it worked. But this guy who, this friend of theirs that's trying to throw the hunters off by posting all these Craigslist ads, real world situation, he's just got rolled up because he's an accomplice. He's aiding and abetting fugitives. So a lot of this stuff would turn two fugitives into probably 10 to 20 people getting rolled up in a net because they're helping. Right now, they can just say, up yours, I'm not going to help you. They told me to make all these phone calls to throw you guys off. Well, in the real world, it's turn around, place your hands behind your back. And then you're going to sit there in jail for 6 months or a year waiting for your trial. They're going to make your life a wreck. So the game's going to change totally different if this is a real world situation. These guys were calling several people. They would not be able to depend on in a real world situation because most of these people wouldn't be willing to risk all of this if this was for real. So, and they did bring it up. What we could do is track. Oh, where did this Craigslist ad come from? Well, one of the guys said, I can do a track to find out what the MAC address is. That does not mean Mac as in Apple computers. Every electronic device has a very unique Mac address. So when you register your phone, you register your tablet, you register your laptop, it's your Mac address. And that Mac address attaches, it's your fingerprint that you're leaving all over the internet everywhere you go. That's why we recommend you use Tails, because it actually spoofs your Mac address. So it doesn't appear that's like your own laptop that you use for everything else is obscured. So they basically they go into Craigslist, identify what the MAC address is of the computer or device was for that posted these Craigslist ads, and then boom, this is Jason Bourne, registered to such and such, Microsoft laptop, blah, blah, blah. Here's his address. And then they pay it a visit, you know, and bust you, which didn't happen in this one. So that's as far as I'm going to go for this week. There's, you know, a few more notes that I have on that episode, but I'm going to try to wrap up the last part of episode 6 and episode 7, which is the final episode, next week. On Radio for Redoubt, episode 1714. So we got that to look forward to. I'm going to wind everything down here. You guys have a blessed week. Thank you for your words of encouragement, your prayers. I covet your prayers. We need your protection. We need your prayers. Or we need protection. We need prayers. So thank you for that covering. And also thank you for your financial support to help Radio Free Redoubt continue to grow and expand and cover the cost of doing this and making sure that we can continue doing what we do. So if that's a blessing to you, we appreciate you supporting us. And that's the end. That is the end of my notes. It even says end. Okay, guys, God bless. 73, this is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.